Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, welcome into another episode of Goodman and Hummel Podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Robbie Hummel. And yeah, he's in a little different spot today. I thought you'd be doing this from the beach in Malibu. Like, I'm highly disappointed in you. I mean, I did it from a tent in Lubbock. Yeah. Why can't you do it from the beach in Malibu?
Well, unlike you, I care about our listeners and the quality of the sound and the production. So therefore, I'm on the Wi-Fi. Unlike you, right, going from tent to tent, house and beers, just doing what you want, you know. So that's why, because I care about that.
I'm just glad that your nose doesn't look really red and you use sunblock when you're on the beach for the last 48 hours.
I haven't been to the beach yet. I've seen the ocean, but I have not been to the beach. So.
For people that are watching and listening, there might be no better mid-major job in the country than Pepperdine. And you got Gonzaga Pepperdine tonight. The view at Pepperdine University, I'll put it up against any school in the entire country.
No, Malibu is beautiful. It really is. Now, I think facilities-wise, they might be they're squeezed from a land perspective. Yeah. So it's hard when you're going up against like the St. Mary's and the Gonzagas of the world. But yeah, it's an incredible view of the ocean. I've been near the campus. I haven't been to the arena before, so this will be my first time tonight. I would assume the crowd would be pretty good. I mean, Gonzaga is the number one team in the country.
You would hope. I mean, maybe you'll get some stars there. Stars live in Malibu, Rob. You might see some stars. I don't know.
Maybe Drake and I will see each other again, like we did in Toronto. Nice. But dude, listen to this. Gonzaga has beat Pepperdine 42 straight times.
Oof.
42. That's like 20 years worth of games. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's kind of ugly. And I'm not sure.
And I think about I just think about Pepperdine when I was a kid. They had some success in the NCAA tournament.
They were
good. They won some games, and that's 42 games in a row is nuts.
Who's the best player ever to come out of Pepperdine? Have you done your Pepperdine research on the waves?
No.
I don't know the answer either.
Who would you say? I have no idea. Other than the guys on the team this year, I'm not sure I could really. I guess
they had pros.
Yeah, they got one from last year's team. Kessler Edwards, he's playing for the Nets now. He was a second round pick. Yeah. So, Kessler.
Listen, I didn't have quite the same view last night as you had, or you will have tonight, in terms of the ocean. I was in downtown Providence, Rhode Island, where there was a lot of alcohol being consumed inside that arena. And it wasn't, you know, I tried to kind of stir these fans up a little bit. And it's funny, like I walked in and I'm getting chants of like, we hate Goodman. And John Fanta, they absolutely love. They're like, we love Fanta, we hate Goodman. And I'm like, all right. So they stuffed us baseline. And the student section, they added, I guess, I don't remember. Usually we're on the other side and there's some room between us and the student section. They put me in the other baseline and literally it's almost like Duke. They're right on top of you. They can touch you.
And are they all the way around?
No, both end zones. Both end zones.
Yeah.
But they're out of their minds, out of their friggin' minds. And they're hungry. Obviously, they got a chance to win their first Big East regular season title ever.
Sure. And
I've called them lucky all year, as you know, and they don't like that. They don't like being called lucky.
How good do you think they are? You saw them in person last night. How good do you think Providence is?
I think they're good because they play hard as shit and they're connected and they've made enough shots. I don't think they're as good a shooting team as they've showed, and they win a lot of close games. But you're playing against a program that is known for winning close games. And
totally.
You know, the difference showed down the stretch. Ed Cooley was very, very upset because he felt like they missed a lot of assignments defensively at the end. They left Gillespie wide open a couple times, and he made him pay. You can't do that. But getting back, so I walk in, and this was like a pro move. This was a complete pro move. I walk in, and again, they're all over me. There's like hundreds of students right behind me, and I'm like, oh, shit, this could get ugly. You know, I could have a fan, like, pour a beer on me at some point.
That would have been amazing.
I know. You would have loved it. Yes, I would have loved it.
If you got Steve Austin just right down there, that would have been great.
I was ready. There was one fan before the game. He was wearing a hat. Shit-faced. And he was in my face. And I looked over. I can't remember who I said it to. But I said, like, you might want to – like, I might swing at this. I was so upset. Most of them, you know, they're yelling shit. They're giving me the middle finger. They're yelling, you know, we hate Goodman. Whatever. Do all this. This dude was, like, in my face. Like, we hate you, Goodman. Blah, 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 blah. Like, just in my face. I'm like, dude, like, just shut the hell up. Shut the hell up or I'm going to put you on the floor in a minute. And
assaulting a student would have been amazing.
It would not have been good.
Goodman's in jail. He went to the Providence game and assaulted a kid. Been great.
Would not have been good. So I go over anyway, go to my seat. I see kind of the surroundings in my seat and how close everybody is. And I'm like, all right. So I grab five guys or whoever I could see. Could have been girls, but it happened to be five guys. I said, all right, come with me, guys. They're like looking at me like, well, what are you doing? I said, all right, come on upstairs. I'm going to buy you each two beers. And you're going to give them to somebody else. You can't drink two. I said, like, are you all 21? They're all like, yeah. I don't know if they're 21 or not, but they all had IDs that said they were 21. So we went upstairs, and I bought them each two beers. And it was the smartest thing that I could do because after that, they were on my side. They protected me.
That's how you can make friends real quick on a college campus.
No doubt. You just buy them a few beers and they're good to go. And those fans were awesome. They really were. I mean, Providence, you know, there's only about 4,500 undergrads and they had like 3,000 of them. 3,000 students were there and they were out of their minds. I don't think it was as good as Texas Tech, Texas, but it was pretty close.
Is Providence known? I mean, I guess I've never been. Are they known as having one of the better atmospheres in the Big East?
Drunk students. Rabid students.
And I assume they obviously sell beer to anyone over 21 in the stadium, too. Yeah.
They are mean-spirited, probably would be a good word to describe
them. East Coast, baby.
Yeah, they get after you. They get after you pretty good. They were yelling, and I know I think they did this with you back when you played. I don't know if you had any ex-girlfriends, but they yelled. There was a little shot at you, a little underhanded shot at you.
I couldn't find one. No one would have me.
They yelled Colin Gillespie's ex-girlfriend's name, Skylar or something. I don't know. They're yelling that, screaming it at him.
That's what the good student sections do. They find dirt. They dig it up Colin on Facebook. After. They dig it up on Instagram. They find ways to be effective.
Colin was not rattled, though, man. He is, you know, I've seen a lot. I think I've seen almost every team in the top 25 so far this year in person. Almost every team. And I would say if you give me the opportunity to pick one point guard that I would take in the NCAA tournament. And I know there's more talented guys. I get it. There's more talented guys.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking back to your preseason All-Americans.
Oh,
That's why I'm laughing. Yeah. Not even about Curbelo. He was hurt. You know, who knows what was going on there. There's a lot of things outside of the court. I just am laughing about the disrespect that you showed Colin Gillespie.
I did. You know what the problem is? We've seen too much of Colin Gillespie.
No, it's not. The problem is he's a known commodity.
Okay.
And you were going for the flash. Yeah, that's what it was. You were going for the flare. Yeah. But Colin Gillespie is solid, and he wins, and he does it at the highest level.
In every way, right? In every way. I mean, this kid, last night, he's unflappable. Like, he makes every big shot, every good – the play that stood out to me the most, Rob, you know, he makes the shots from three. The play that stood out to me the most was – He must have got switched on to Justin Manaea. Justin Manaea is 6'7", strong, tough, played for Frank Martin, plays for Ed Cooley, kind of an undersized four, more than anything. You know what Gillespie did? He backed his ass down and got an and-one on him. He backed Jackson his ass him. Down.
That is impressive. He's just won so much. I mean, they've won so much, and he's been such a big part of it that I just feel like he is always in control, and he's not the most athletic guy. He's not the most talented guy, but he's tough and he has a knack to make big shots. And he's a winner, man. That's what he is. He is one of the elite point guards in the country in a year where there's not a ton of guys that you would say are in that list.
Back in November, actually, when they played Purdue, I remember asking him, I think before that game, I said, you're like a robot out there. And
you take that as a diss?
Well, that's what I wanted to see, right? I wanted to see. I said, like, you don't show any emotion. I can't tell if you're up 20 or down 20. You don't celebrate. And it was him and Jermaine Samuels. And I said, like, you guys are like robots. Like, don't take that as disrespect. And they said, no, we don't. We actually take it the other way. Like, we think that's a great thing that you're saying that because we play the game the right way. And they do. They move the basketball. Yeah. Justin Moore had like 18 or 16 in the first half. Rob, he was not shot hunting at all. He could have, and he did.
Yeah, but that's their culture type thing. Those guys are so bought in at Villanova.
Yep.
I will say, and there are some guys that works for, but I don't think there's anything wrong with showing emotion. As a college, it's an emotional game. I mean, these crowds are insane. You go into any of these places, but that's just kind of the way that those guys are. And that's fine. It works for them. But I don't think that's a formula to work for everybody. I think now you shouldn't be scoring buckets and, you know, as the ball's coming back, like admiring your hand. It's like if there's a stoppage in play, though, I don't think there's anything wrong with being an emotional player. You can't be emotionally drunk. But
he learned. Well, he learned from two dudes in Rick. In Jalen Brunson and Archie Diacono, who are very similar.
Yeah, no doubt.
They didn't show any emotion, you know, and it's kind of like you said, it's that culture. And I asked Jay Wright that, and he said, yeah, like we found those guys. You know, we looked for those type of guys, and especially since Arch, and we found them, and they fit our program and our culture. And, man, do they just – you know, they just know how to win. They know how to win. You're not betting against Villanova. I don't care who they play against. You know, again, as long as last year, obviously in the NCAA tournament, they didn't have Gillespie. So they were easy out. They got to the Sweet 16, but they didn't really play a tough road. And then you kind of knew they had done all they could. But, you know, with Dixon and Eric Dixon's been a lot better. So I don't know. Maybe they can make a run here, Rob.
Yeah, no, I know. I still worry about the lack of size against some of the big teams.
Length.
You know, if they were to play in Illinois, where you're like, well, we got to guard Kofi Coburn, and we saw against Purdue. I will say, though, I thought so highly of Purdue early in the year, and I still think really highly of their team. I think they've got some issues for sure defensively. But the reason I felt that way was because of the way they beat Villanova. Yeah. And I think Nova is one of those programs that is the measuring stick for – almost anybody in college basketball. Like, you beat those dudes in the fashion that Purdue did, that is going to open some eyes, you know? So I think that's and I say that meaning no disrespect to Nova. It's a compliment. You know, it really is. And that's the job that Jay Wright has done of making them into one of the elite programs in college basketball.
More important than peace of mind, nothing. And that's what NordVPN is here for, to give you peace of mind while you are online. And with all the threats that you face today on the internet, it's more important than ever to be sure that you can have the best VPN you can get. NordVPN is the world's best VPN service, offering the fastest, connectivity, most servers, and next-gen encryption to make sure that everything you do online stays secure. Plus, you can use NordVPN on all of your computers and devices, no matter the operating system. With NordVPN's unlimited bandwidth, you never have to worry about a slow connection either. And plans start at under $4 a month. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/believe or use the code believe. That's B-L-E-A-V to get up to 70% off your NordVPN plan plus one additional month for free. It's also risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So my trust level is the highest, and you know what I think of point guard play for Colin Gillespie.
You think it's everything.
It is. It's everything to me. It is. Like, I know. You laugh. Said, you always laugh at this. But
I just laugh because I literally just said it's everything to you. It's everything to me. So, yeah.
So,
all right. So Gillespie's not, if you're, what is your meter, like 1 to 10, Connor Gillespie is a 10 or Colin Gillespie is a 10?
Yeah. I mean, he's the highest there is this year. And again, in a weak point guard crew, let's face it, it's not overpowering like it usually is.
Right.
I would say Colin Gillespie is a 10 for me.
All right. Well, how about I read off some names and you can give your rating and then I'll follow it up with, with mine.
Yep.
Tiger Campbell.
It's like a 7 to me.
He's played in the Final Four.
I know.
Really?
I know. I still I love Tiger. I love him.
Not enough. You don't love him enough. He's a 7.
He hits big shots. He runs the team. Maybe a 7. I'll give him a 7.5. How's that? 7.
Hits big shots, runs the team, went to the Final Four last year.
Yeah. All right. You convinced me. I'll give him an 8. I'm going to give him an 8 now. I'm moving him.
I'm going 9 because of the reasons that you said.
All right.
Andrew Nembhard.
I give him the same 8.
8?
Same 8. I like Nembhard.
I think this is a year for him to prove it.
No doubt.
Just because last year with Suggs, he didn't nearly have the responsibility. He's playing great. Like, he's playing the best basketball of his career right now.
No doubt.
8's good. James Akinjo.
9. I give Akinjo a 9 because I think he's got that shit to him. Like, I love Akinjo.
Was he 0 for 11 at Allen Fieldhouse?
He has been brutal shooting the ball lately. Brutal from 3, from the perimeter.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I think he can impact the game by distributing, by his toughness, by his intangibles, by his ability to try to guard. So I trust Akinjo.
Okay. I'm gonna go 7.
Okay.
I'm not as high. I still think the jury is out, especially with the mounting injuries. I just think a lot is being put on his plate.
That's fair.
A lot is being put on his plate. This is a little bit outside the box. Trent Frazier, Illinois.
8. I actually have the Trent Frazier. If you have me rank point guard situations, I have Trent Frazier Curbelo as maybe the 3rd best situation in the country. Now, again, I know we don't know what we're getting out of Bello. I'm not giving up on him, though, Rob. God. I'm not giving up on him. I'm not ready.
I just don't think you can even say that he's coming off the bench. He plays like 12 minutes. He either turns it over or if he's playing Purdue, he balls. You know, like, I can't even believe you're going to disrespect Frazier. And
I'm giving respect to Frazier.
No, you're
I'm
not.
Giving,
you're,
no, I'm
you're trying to save.
No,
you're trying to save your no. All-American pick.
Frazier is
the
best point guard in the Big Ten this year. How's
agreed.
That?
I agree with you. I give him a 9. I love Trent Frazier.
Yeah.
He guards his ass off. Yep. He's tough.
Yep.
He can make threes. He hasn't shot it great the last 3 or 4 games outside of the Indiana game. But he can play pick and roll. I just think that he is such a winner. I really do.
Agreed.
So I'll give him a 9 all by himself. No situation of who else is around. He
all
is
right.
a 9.
That's fair.
Wendell Green. 2 up and down.
Just don't
I'm going,
trust
him. I'm going 5.
Yeah, 5. Me too. On his best day, day, he's a 9. On his worst day, he's like a 3. Yeah. So, you know, I'll go like 6.5, 7, but I don't think he could, you know, the worry for Wendell Green and Kerr Creasso, to me, and they're very different players.
Kerr is a 3 for me. Now he could be, he is all over the place, dude.
Right. They're both all over the place. Now, Wendell's a better shooter. and he's been a good facilitator at times. Those guys both scare me because they haven't put it together consistently.
Right. You know what? I'll give Kirk Creese a 4 because his swagger is the highest.
His swagger. Highest if you level. Only had Kirk Creese's swagger, you'd still be in the NBA right now.
No knee injuries and Kirk Creese's swagger, max player.
It'd be over. No, you'd be like, I'm trying to think who you'd be in the league right now.
I don't know. I just think it's an incredible skill to be able to miss 9 shots in a row and be like, bro, next one, it's fire.
Don't give a
That's
shit.
That's how he thinks.
I know.
Whereas I would be like, man, I've missed fucking 9 shots in a row. I got to move this thing.
You did it. I'm sure you did it after missing 4 or 5. Like, I can't shoot.
It was hard for me. Even like my last year at Purdue when it was more on me to score.
Right.
If I was having, and I had some bad freaking games in like late December and January, where my knees just felt so bad before I kind of figured it out and started feeling better. But yeah, you miss 4 or 5 in a row and you're looking at your percentage. You're not looking, you're thinking about it. You're like, dude, I'm like 2 of 12.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a volume. I need to make some of these shots.
This isn't my day.
But Creese is not that way, dude. He thinks the next one's going in, and that is a special, special skill. I'm envious of that.
All right. So you got two guys that I got on my list that you haven't mentioned. Go ahead.
Severe Wheeler.
And Ty.
Combo, right. Yes.
Right. Those two together, honestly, I might have as much trust in that pair if Ty's healthy as anybody not
thing.
Named Colin Gillespie.
The big thing is Ty Washington. I think I saw you tweet this morning, you know, should they shut him down? And let him just – was that you that tweeted that? Or
no, but – no, all but
right. – Somebody else did. Some other really good insider that I follow.
Probably Doster.
A better insider.
Probably Doster, and he's not an insider, and he's not better, and I'm shocked you follow him.
I am too, honestly. I think the health is the question, but those two guys, Kentucky has been awesome this year. They are built to win at a high, high level across the board. Shibwe – all those dudes. But yes, I would give them – I agree with you. I'd give them a 9.
Who else? Anybody else?
Kennedy Chandler.
6.5.
Really?
Well, he's so inconsistent for me.
Yeah, he is up and down. All right, who did you think I missed?
Isaiah Stevens, Colorado State. He'd be the only name I'd put on there. I like him a lot. I know you haven't seen him in person.
I'm talking about teams that
have a More chance. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I don't think Tennessee's got a chance, but that's
No, I guess. Sorry. I haven't seen him play.
So I think we've both come to the conclusion. We take Gillespie number 1. Would you give Gillespie a 10?
No. I don't think anybody is deserving of a 10 on that list.
Okay. I'm doing it by you know.
You're saying the highest ranked correct. Guy pretty much.
Right.
Yeah,
on scale.
I would roll with Gillespie. Gillespie would be the number 1 ranking in my power rankings with, I think, Severe Wheeler and Ty number 2. I like Tiger Campbell. I would have him 3, Nembhard 4, Frazier 5, Akinjo 6.
Yeah, I'd probably go Gillespie, Ty Wheeler, then Akinjo, then Trent, Curbelo, then Nembhard, then Tiger, then Isaiah Stevens.
Oh, God. The fact that Curbelo is even named with these cats is pretty wild.
I'm not giving up. I'm not ready to give up.
Which take of yours is worse? Maryland bench or this point guard situation?
A lot of bad ones.
I mean, they really miss your boy. What is it, James? What's his
James
name?
Graham.
James Graham. Everything would have been different at Maryland. I mean, Turge might still be there. They could be,
he's in the portal for anybody that wants James Graham. He is in the portal waiting right now.
He isn't committed anywhere.
No, he's waiting. The suitors are coming.
Waiting for what?
The suitors are a coming.
Oh, God. He should get you as his agent.
I know.
You would have him somewhere really good. Really, really good.
I'm going to see if I can get him to Purdue next year.
Okay.
See what we can do.
Yeah, actually, in the portal next year.
All right. You have a game. Your first Gonzaga game in person ever?
In like 4 years. I did BYU Gonzaga at the Kennel. Sweet place.
Kennel's great.
Yeah, it's a good spot. So this is my first game of theirs since then. So
they've been flying under the radar. I mean, I saw them back when they beat Texas and absolutely smothered Texas. Chet was not great in that game.
And that was 2 points? Like, hit 2 points in that game?
Yeah, he just didn't do anything. I mean, honestly, he was like just another player out there. And, you know, we saw him kind of start to get a little better through the non-conference schedule. But he has been absolutely dominant in league play. Now, a lot of people will say, well, yeah, it's Pepperdine. It's Portland. It's Pacific. Sure. You know, the three Ps. And you got a bunch of other, like, decent teams, but not – again, I saw St. Mary's in person.
Yeah.
They're not overwhelming. BYU doesn't have bigs left on their roster right now.
Yeah.
So, like, how much stock do you put in, Rob, that Chet Holmgren has been absolutely dominant? You probably have his numbers there in league play.
Yeah, no, in WCC play, 16-10 and 3.5, 66 from the field, 58 from three.
Wow.
I buy it. Just because I think the talent is so high and now the confidence is coming with it. Yep. And I do agree. They're not playing a schedule like a team in the SEC or a team in the Big Ten. They play a non-conference schedule that is you could put up next to anybody. That's every year for Gonzaga. But I do buy the fact that the stuff he's doing, it translates. So he'll see a level of physicality, I think, with some different teams that maybe he's not seeing right now. But, I mean, 73% transition, 1.5 points per possession. Listen to this. This is crazy. He's shooting that in transition. You know what his adjusted field goal percentage is in transition with the three factored in? 93%. Wow. That's incredible. Because he's shooting such a high clip on – I mean, he shoots trail threes and transition threes. In transition, you got to worry about Timmy sealing his man at the basket, but you've got a dude that's got a flame and can get his shot off over anybody trailing in at the trail spot. So I think Holmgren, his numbers have been really, really good. I think you could probably – we'll talk about National Player of the Year here in a second, and right now it's probably more of a Drew Timmy thing than Chet, but I think that could flip.
Well, it's going to hurt them both that they're playing together.
They almost hurt each other's numbers. Agreed, but I think that with the way that Chet is playing, if he continues to do that, he will find his way into the National Player of the Year conversation.
And they're perfect for each other. I mean, they really do. They play off each other about as well. I was there, again, I talked to Timmy for a while. I talked to Chet for a while. And Drew understood, again, how they'd be able to play off one another so well, especially with Chet being able to make shots from the perimeter. That's the huge part. We didn't know if Chet would be a low 30s three-point shooter this year or not. He's gotten confidence with that, starting to take it more, but not falling in love with it either.
Right. No, I agree. He plays off the closeout. He makes good decisions. He can finish with either hand around the rim. I mean, I think Chet Holmgren has only helped himself here. And there's a lot of guys that have helped themselves. I think the talk of who will be the number one pick is fascinating.
Yes.
Because I think Jabari Smith has had a great year. Paolo Banchero has had a great year. Chet Holmgren has had a great year. Jaden Ivey has exploded into that conversation. I think that you could go a lot of different ways. And there's a lot of crazy talent in this draft at the top end.
And we haven't thrown the name, and I don't know if he'll be in the draft, but Shaedon Sharpe, the kid who enrolled early at Kentucky, is not playing this year, which would lead me to believe that
I would think that then he'll play next year, right?
You would think. I mean, otherwise Cal's not holding him out. Right. He's going to play him this year. So in his mind, yes, I think Cal's thinking that way. But when it comes down to it, and an NBA agent tells this kid, hey, you're going to be a top five pick, which I think he would be.
Yeah.
What does he do then?
I guess it would be, is your mindset, I want to be the number one pick.
Correct. Which I think he could be. I think he could be if he, especially with a half a year under his belt of learning the system, knowing that your classes, knowing just being adjusted. I think it's a brilliant move on his part. Come back next year, be the best player in the country, and maybe be the number one overall pick. I absolutely agree with you. So, you know, to me, is what's the worry about Gonzaga now? When you watch them and you, again, you look at them, you say they got a point guard who knows how to just get people the ball.
Can play.
They got you didn't
shooters.
Even talk about Chet's defense, Rob. You didn't even talk about that yet.
No, I know. And he is crazy. I mean, he's altering so many shots. And I think he's blocking, what, over three a game. He impacts the game at both ends in such a
crazy way. So what do you worry about? Because I worried about the perimeter shooting when I saw him against
Texas. Yeah, and that, I mean, Bolton shooting 46. Nembhard has struggled lately, but is 33. Strother's 39. Holmgren's 46. They're a really complete group. They really guard you. I think their last seven games, they're giving up 59 points a game. I guess I would say I worry a bit about if Timmy and Holmgren were to get in foul trouble, you're throwing out, like, and you're going against a big, big team.
Yeah.
That would probably be my biggest concern, I guess, just because you'd probably have to go to like Ben Gregg or Anton Lopes at the five. If those two were in, but that's, I mean, two guys in foul trouble is a decent amount, but if you're seeing size like Purdue throws at you or Illinois throws at you or some of these really, really big teams, that I guess that's my concern, but they can really shoot it. They really guard you. They've got a really good point guard. They've got elite players in the front court. There's a reason they're one in the AP poll, one in the coaches poll, one in the net, and the number one overall seed in the Nardi's last bracket. They're a very complete group. But and I will say, you know, even when these dudes leave, when Rashir Bolton moves on, when Andrew Nembhard moves on, dude, Hunter Salas and Nolan Hickman are studs. They hardly play. Like, they're both really good. The future of the backcourt is just fine for Mark Few. Next year, they're going to be good again.
Yeah, I like Hickman a lot, and Salas is super talented. So you're right. Like, they've got – listen, every team we look at, for the most part, has something that you're going to say – all right, Purdue, their point guard play scares the hell out of me. Arizona,
defense
and point guard play for Purdue. Arizona, point guard play with Kerr Creasa. Kentucky, you know, I still think their four men, their ability to step out and make some shots. You know, we saw it last night even. Other than Kellen Grady, you know, if Ty Ty's not making shots, how many other guys you have that can stretch the court? Every team. With Gonzaga, again, for me, it was perimeter shooting going into the year. Now I think collectively, they don't worry me at all. I mean, move the ball, get uncontested shots, and they're going to make them at
I mean, think about it. I just said what worries me is a situation where their two best players get in foul trouble. they're
ridiculous.
Not a team that fouls. I mean, that's
that's
a pretty extreme worry, you know. So I think they're super complete. They're as complete as anybody that I've seen.
Want to make some money? How about you invest it in an exciting asset that's outpaced the S&P 500 by 164% for 25 years? I'm talking about art. Masterworks is the new investing app that lets you invest in blue chip paintings from icons like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol without needing millions. Over 300,000 people have already signed up. Get priority access with our unique promo. Log on to masterworks.art/believe. That's masterworks.art/believe, B-L-E-A-V. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclosures. All right, so National Player of the Year is kind of ever-changing. I feel like it's all like the flavor of the day almost as much as anything else, right? Like, I kind of was ready to flip to Oscar Tshiebwe the other day. And then last night, Johnny Davis goes into Bloomington and has another monster game. I mean, you saw this in Mackey. Like, what he did at Mackey was insane.
He carried the whole team, and he did it last night again for the last 2 minutes.
Yep.
He had struggled a little bit over the last 2 or 3 weeks shooting the ball, but he's got to be in the conversation. I mean, 30 on Houston, 37 on Purdue, what he did last night. I think he's in the combo. Tshiebwe's in the combo.
Yep.
Like EJ Liddell, what he did at Michigan, he's got to be in the conversation. He's doing it on both ends, too. I mean, you're talking about a dude that
I think he's the most underrated. I think he's the one that
doesn't
get enough.
Totally agree with you. He deserves to be talked about as one of the elite players. Like, I just feel like maybe because Ohio State hasn't been world beaters this year, they're good. You know, on the road, they've had their struggles. They've kind of been alternating winning and losing over the last eight games, but he take him away from that team and they are very just full of role players and pretty average in my opinion with the injuries. I mean, you know, Justice Suing, no Seth Towns.
Right.
I think we've talked a lot about how Brad Underwood has been plugging holes. Chris Holtmann has too. He's been doing the same thing.
Yep.
Keegan Murray, I think you could make the argument for. Yep. Now, the problem is Iowa has no Quad One wins.
Right.
So
right.
I think that in order to be National Player of the Year, you've got to be on a team that is at least contending in your conference race. Paolo, Banchero, I think Timmy or Holmgren, depending on how that pans out over the last couple weeks of the season. I think that's probably it. I mean, Jaden Ivey maybe has thrown his – I think Jaden Ivey's thrown his hat into the ring of Big Ten Player of the Year, but National Player of the Year, maybe. Right. You know, he's had a really good – stretch of games here as Purdue's kind of trying to find their way. I think they're really tired. They've played a ton of games in a short amount of time. But
I would choose from today. Today, I would choose from Johnny Davis, Oscar Tshiebwe, or EJ Liddell today. And I know Illinois fans will kill me for that because they'll say, you know, Kofi. He's been awesome too. These guys have. Keegan Murray's been awesome. Ben Mathurin's been great. Jaden Ivey's been great. There's been a lot of these guys. I just think, again, if you take Johnny Davis off Wisconsin, that's how I look at it when it's close. And I really believe if you take him off Wisconsin, Rob, I mean, they might not even be an NIT team.
Brad Davis is taking 30 shots a game if you take Johnny Davis, right. Even Tyler Wall. I agree with you. I think just the fact that he's done it against some of the best teams and
on the road
environments, right. On the road, neutral side. And the rebounds. Fact that Wisconsin
rebounds at his size.
No,
he doesn't just
rebounder.
Score the ball. Like, obviously, Oscar and Kofi are going to rebound. They're monsters.
Yeah. He leads them in every statistical category, I think. Points, assists, rebounds. I agree with you that he has done it in the toughest atmospheres. And he just, man, he finds ways to will them to win. What are they picked, like 10th or 11th?
Right.
I mean, guard has to be the front runner to win Coach of the Year in the Big
Nobody
Ten.
Nobody saw this coming. Nobody.
No. And there's been a lot of good coaching jobs this year. Brad Underwood's done a great job. But I do think that with the preseason predictions, boy, Johnny Davis has just obliterated that.
He has. And he gets a big one in Bloomington against an Indiana team that is now under 500.
Yeah.
They're 16-9. They are in – what are they, in ninth? They're ninth place in the Big Ten. Yeah. Is that right?
Let me look.
Ninth place.
Yeah.
They're behind Michigan. They're behind Iowa. They're behind Rutgers.
Wow.
You know, this Indiana team that looked like they were a lock for the NCAA tournament. Well, now you got to go to Ohio State, which isn't going to be easy.
Nope.
And you come back, you're going to be two games under 500 potentially. And you got Maryland at home and at Minnesota. Like, I think they're going to get in. I don't think there's any question they get in the tournament, but now you're like sneaking in potentially.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you've lost four in a row. Your offense is all of a sudden just totally falling apart. I think in the four game losing streak, they're averaging 59 points a game.
Right.
And against, you watched the game last night. Trace Jackson Davis plays out of his mind. I mean, 38-6, that's as good as he could play.
They're They're guards.
Xavier Johnson, 3 of 16. Right. I mean, Trey Galloway is a good, solid player, but he doesn't score a whole lot. Outside of Race and Trace, they just can't score.
Right. His best day, right? When Xavier's good.
I've seen him play really well, too, where he's in pick and roll and he's getting to the basket. He's really fast. He is a really good athlete. But he's a wild card, man. I've seen it go both ways for Xavier Johnson. I don't know. I just look at the fact that you're playing at Northwestern and you have five guys get suspended for breaking curfew for the dumbest stuff ever. I mean, like, do you understand what is at stake here?
I give Woodson credit.
I do too, because he certainly a lot of guys would look the other way and just run their ass at practice. But I mean, how do you do that? You are a month away from being able to do whatever you want after the season ends, and just just stay in the hotel. I know. The NCAA tournament is a really cool event, a really cool thing to plan. And that could jeopardize you. You're looking at, I mean, Northwestern's not a terrible loss on the road. I think it's quad two, probably.
Right. But it started this. But the bottom line is, all you do, you win that and you're not at losing four in a row. And now you got pressure on you. That's
totally
the difference.
And it's the same story as what we've seen the last couple of years where Indiana just limps to the finish line. And you mentioned their schedule. I mean, Ohio State away, that's going to be tough. Maryland at home, you should win that one. But Purdue almost lost to Maryland at home last week.
Right.
Minnesota away, that's an interesting deal. Yep. Because Minnesota, while their record is bad, they've got dudes that can really score. And you're on the road in conference play. A Rutgers team then comes into to Assembly Hall that they're playing for their tournament lives, and all of a sudden they're beating all the good teams. Their resume is fascinating. They've lost to the worst teams in the conference. They beat the worst teams in the conference, or the best teams in the conference, and they've lost to DePaul, Lafayette, and UMass. Like, it makes zero. But they've beat, they play Illinois, I think, tonight. They've beaten Purdue, Michigan State, Ohio State. So you get that group who, I mean, they could beat you on your home floor, and then you go to Purdue. So it is not a cakewalk for Indiana at the end of the year.
Yeah, I almost feel like Indiana is going to be that team that if they do something in the Big Ten tournament, they'll be fine. They'll be a 10 seed or something like that. But if they don't, if they struggle here down the stretch, we'll see like an Indiana first four against Carolina. You know, we could like they'll do that.
The Blue
like
Bloods.
They did Michigan State, UCLA last year.
Right.
You'll have that, right? They're smart enough, and they should for ratings. If I'm them,
totally.
You could justify whatever you want.
College basketball is better when Indiana is in the NCAA tournament. There is 100%. No question about that because their fan base is as good as anybody's. So it's just surprising to me that in a state where everybody can shoot, like my friends can shoot that I grew up with, that you just play basketball.
Amazing.
No one can shoot on their team. And it's been like that forever. And I guess that Miller Kopp is a decent shooter, but he's not, he has no impact on a lot of games. And, you know, Parker Stewart he's a good shooter, but he was suspended at Northwestern. You know, I just am amazed that in a state that prides itself on shooting the basketball, no one can ever shoot on Indiana's team. It doesn't make any sense.
You're right. All right. We're going to let you go because, if
I go to the beach,
if I let you go. Yeah. I mean, you should be able to get a walk on the beach with your girlfriend. Like, can you do something for her for once?
Of course. Yeah. I always do. What do you mean?
I don't know. What'd you get her for Valentine's Day?
Undisclosed.
What do you mean undisclosed? You're not going to tell me what you got her for Valentine's Day.
It's on back order. So she doesn't know.
Oh, you don't even get it yet.
Yes, I did.
You're a terrible boyfriend.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm really not.
Flowers? Did you get her flowers at least?
Of course. Of course.
All right. That's good. That's
what did you get?
I got flowers, some candy. You know, when you get old like us, it's like, what do you do different? You know?
Go to dinner.
Yeah, we didn't even do that, which is sad. We didn't even do that.
Well, I see. Pot calling the kettle black here.
My wife got me a sweatery shirt type deal, you know?
Can't wait to see you wear that on the next podcast.
I might. I might put it on for the next pod, you know, try to outdress you for once.
There you go. Yeah, dress up for these.
Hit the beach and enjoy your game at Gonzaga. And we'll talk next week. We'll see you next week on the Goodman and Homel podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we're out.